It's a Friday afternoon, and Dr. Richard Michaud is sitting at a table in a favorite coffee shop with his iPad. Michaud is taking a break from his work. The biologist recently received a $1.5 million grant from NASA. Now, you may be asking, why is the National Aeronautics and Space Administration handing a check that big to a biologist? Michaud is used to that.
So they're interested in the properties of life universally in the universe, what properties might be universal.
NASA is concerned with space, a place that, to our knowledge, is cold and dead. But as we start to spot water and simple life in places such as the Martian polar caps, NASA is starting to ask questions like, what is universal about the evolution of life? What did life on Earth go through that life elsewhere would also have to go through? That's where Dr. Michaud comes in.
And so what I pitched to NASA was that hierarchical organization where units form groups to evolve into new units should be occurring wherever life is found.
His primary source of interest is a tiny little creature known as vulvocene algae. This algae existed as a single cellular creature and eventually became a multicellular creature. Dr. Michaud wonders what it is that let Volvox go from one cell to multiple cells.
So the cells by themselves can be individuals, but when they're in our bodies, they are parts of our body.
It's a part of the hierarchy of life. Here's the main idea. We living organisms tend to clump together when it benefits us. Elk move about in herds, ants form massive colonies, even us humans at the top of the food chain lump together into communities.
Genes exist in chromosomes, chromosomes exist in cells, cells come together and form groups of cells to evolve a complex cell like a eukaryotic cell, and eukaryotic cells form groups to form multicellular organisms form groups in societies and so on.
And if you ask why, it's usually something such as food or safety, something that allows the organism to survive for longer and reproduce more. But there's a trade-off.
When you have a lot of neighbors nearby, you're being bathed in their waste products, and they're, of course, competing for you for resources.
However, in spite of that, albeit icky-sounding disadvantage, we get something more out of clumping together. And so we clump.
Genes exist in chromosomes.
And clump.
Chromosomes exist in cells.
And clump.
Cells come together and form groups of cells.
And clump.
Multicellular organisms form groups in societies.
That brings us to the ultimate step in clumping, the step where a member of that group gives something up to benefit said group. That first act of altruism is what Dr. Michaud is after. When his algae, Volvox, as well as a lot of other living things, first came together into multicellular life.
But about a billion years ago, there was this major transition to multicellularity.
There was an early, simple, altruistic act. Some of those cells give up a most base function, reproduction. These cells use their little tails, flagella, in a way like an outboard boat motor.
They have two flagella, which they beat, and it helps the group move about in the environment and find food. And
propelling a large cell to conditions that will allow it to reproduce more. It sounds a lot like how worker bees are without reproductive capabilities, and their job is to make sure that the one who can reproduce, the queen, reproduces at a rate higher than they could have separately. It's this altruism that intrigues Dr. Michaud. Somewhere, deep down in the genes of these algae, he thinks he'll find the answer to what caused them to start acting altruistically, to put the greater good ahead of individual success.
There was a certain gene that, when it's expressed in a cell, keeps the cell small, and the cell being kept small can't grow, can't divide, and it can't reproduce.
It saves its energy that could be spent on reproduction to propel the algae into a better place where the other cells will reproduce. He's interested in this action because it's easily seen in the human world. Humans began clumping together into societies for safety. Then we started specializing, becoming farmers, hunters, artisans, warriors. Then we gain the ability to act with the good of our community being placed in higher regard than our own. It's a cycle that has continually replayed itself on the history of the Earth. The way Dr. Michaud sees it, since this process has repeated itself throughout the history of biology on Earth, maybe it's a part of how life would work elsewhere in the universe. Maybe on the seas of Europa, or on Titan, or in some other solar system, life is going through the same process. I'm Zach Ziegler, Arizona Public Media.